expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Shut up.
I'm sorry. It's just one of the mornings for everybody. We're having issues getting headphones on, not hanging each other. Yeah, I mean, you know. What can I say?
It's the smoke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know that those women can't hold their smoke.
Well, what about them men? They're running out of oxygen. Look at them now.
I'll tell you what. You know, we should be playing Dreams from Fleetwood Mac. I have a theory. We'll talk about it in a minute. Today is Sunday. Excuse me. August 12th, 2018.
Wow.
Wow, is that crazy?
Yeah, it is.
My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again for Sovereign Mind Radio. I am here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister, Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
And Ashley, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great gal.
I'm glad you think so.
Good morning, and Red Smith.
Be careful. She can cut your mic off at any time.
Who's now in the unfunded seventh circle of a non-existent recovery that's buried in a smoky mountain rain.
In a smoke cloud. He's in a smoke cloud. Fire.
Yeah, speaking of dreams.
What the munchies?
I mean, I got a theory. Has anybody else been dreaming in color besides me?
Big time vivid dreams.
And what was that about? Lack of oxygen?
It's either lack of oxygen or pot fields are burning off, and you're getting it whether you like it or not. So all you old rednecks that have never tried, you probably are.
Yes, you have. You may, in fact, be contact high right now.
That's right. And if you
except it's not making them happier. What's up with that?
Well, it's making them head towards the fridge a lot more. Everybody's gaining weight.
There is that.
It's like, wow, Martha, all of a sudden I feel like I need a pizza and some potato chips.
There's that chocolate cake.
Oh, boy. You can go to the chat room, KCNR1460.com, or call in at 530-605-4567.
It may be an indicator when the air quality says couch potato.
Yeah, because the next line over is like, unconscious.
Yeah. Mars.
Oh, it's been awful lately out there.
It has.
I'm so ready for some blue sky, I can't even tell you. And, you can't go outside, you can't do anything, you don't want to do anything, because if you do something, you go out there, it's like, wow, it smells like crap, it's all in your clothes.
It's a little scary when you do go out and everybody's got masks on. I'm just saying it. Yeah. It's a little eerie feeling,
Not, and you're not even in Japan.
Yeah, no. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like, whoa, okay.
So, anyway, all of our shows are broadcast and archived as well, and you can go to Facebook, and it used to be Sovereign Minds until they made me change it to Marky Kent, because I didn't have ID for Sovereign Minds. I mean, it's just gotten so bad. I mean, we'll talk about Alex Jones getting thrown off. I posted a video from a congresswoman who's trying to run for Congress, and this got censored by Facebook.
Hate speech.
Yeah, because she was talking about how bad communism was, and you know, her mother and father escaped from the Khmer Rouge in Vietnam, and how that they got married was they told the guy, like, the guy got a gun to his head, and they said, in other words, you got to get married. It's like, if you don't have a bride picked out, we're going to shoot you, basically. So
that one right there.
That's exactly what happened. So she said,
done.
He picked out the prettiest girl in the crowd and said, that she's my fiance right there. And they came over and asked her, says, is this your fiance? And yeah, I love him. Anyway, it's pretty interesting. We do have a caller on the line already.
We do. We've got Gary. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, everybody. Mark, I especially thought of you regarding what I'm about to say. When was the last time you replaced your cabin filter in your vehicle?
Well, I heard you on the State of Jefferson show, and I actually have replaced my Toyota filter about 2 months ago, so I'm going to probably do it again. And that was a great tip, Gary. I didn't even know if my Kia had a filter on it, you know, so I checked it. It does have a filter. And I replaced the filters at the office as well, just before the fire started, by pure luck. You know, I opened up the vents, and I said, oh, these things are pretty dirty. So I went and got filters for them. And then I left for Tennessee on the 23rd. So I think
I bet you coming back, you people drive more than I do, and mine was practically black.
Yep. I'm going to go. Yeah. I'm going to get.
I hate to see what mine's
15,000 miles. And most people, that filter to remind them is out of sight, out of mind. It's in the glove box.
Yep. Yeah. And
it's tricky to replace on some vehicles. And like my technician explained, the intake for that filter is right by your windshield wipers, and so it inhales everything, whereas the filter in the motor, your air intake, is shielded somewhat by air currents and, obviously, where it is.
Right.
So it really behooves. I've not thought of it until he called my attention to it, etc., and showed me, and I was amazed how bad it was in the short period of time. And I'm looking at replacing it probably in a couple months after we go to Sacramento and a few other things. And those of you who are out there all the time in your vehicle, boy, it behooves you to change it maybe every couple, 3,000 miles, as bad as the smoke has been.
I agree, Gary. In fact, I'm going to probably get some filters and rechange them and change them today on the cars. But here's another big tip. You can Google on YouTube, change filter for whatever the model of your car is, your cabin filter. And almost every single one of so far I've been batting 1,000 on the fact that they have a little short YouTube video that shows you how to change it yourself.
You can Google. They'll tell you anything.
That saves you they want $100 to do it at the.
Oh yeah, they want an arm and a leg, and you're better. So that's good news. To the real world here, any research or any news about what happened when the fire started? Did the Forest Service call off Cal Fire because they wanted it to burn? You know, all sorts of those rumors back and forth, and Officer Joe alluded to that Friday. So what have you heard, or have you had a chance to do any research?
From what I understand, and this is coming secondhand from a person that is a personal friend of the fire captain that was on the scene, when the trailer popped its tire and drug the rim and created sparks, there was an immediate call out. There might have been what could be considered a little bit of an excessive delay getting firefighters there, but once firefighters were there, they began immediate action on the fire, and they started trying to contain the fire, and it rapidly jumped the fire lines and accelerated from there. There was no order to stand down or let it burn initially.
Yeah, so in other words, with the 40 years of forest mismanagement, thanks to to the environmentalists and the Forest Service, we had no prayer. It was immediate ignition and big time.
Yeah. They said it was almost up to 48 acres by the time they were even there. It just, it bloomed, and they started cutting a line, and it just, it took off on them.
Yep. Okay. Well, thank you very much, ladies and gents, and good program as usual.
Thanks, all right, Gary. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Well, we're up to 191,200 acres, 59% contained, which is kind of good news. We're starting to get a handle on it, and hopefully we can get this thing under control here pretty soon. It's burning up now between Trinity Lake and Shasta Lake and the hills back in there. And with the spot fires, it looks like at the head of the McLeod arm. So, yeah, I mean, we're not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination yet, but it's getting better.
Well, on top of, you know, looking ahead, I mean, and we're starting to get to that point where we can realistically start looking ahead and getting things back to what we need to do is, you know, first on focusing, we've got to figure out where to put people that have lost, you know, over 1,000 homes.
Right. Yeah.
That's a lot of people and families displaced.
Right.
We've got to figure out housing for them. But not only that, we've got to look towards forest maintenance. We should already be taking bids from private timber companies to get in there and harvest the timber that can be harvested and clear it out so it doesn't sit there for years on end waiting for California to come to a decision on a harvest plan until it rots and it blooms and it does this all over again, except worse because we've added even more
fuel. Mm-hmm. Well, that would be federal government too, BLM,
that,
and
that would absolutely.
Yeah, so it's it's a combination of both. With that, do we want to go to a break now? And
okay, we can do that if you want to call in. The number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This is Diane Hawks with the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to 4 families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
With all the activity in the community and now the pressure of school shopping, your wallet may be feeling the pinch. Before you bring out the charge card, look in the bottom of your jewelry box where cash is waiting to be found. The gold mark will turn your broken, outdated, unwanted, and salvaged gold, platinum, and diamonds into instant cash. Our expert staff have been helping people like you for over 30 years. We'll make the process easy and we pay excellent prices. You'll be surprised just how much your unwanted gold will bring. The Gold Mart in the Town and Country Center, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Falling through the mist of sorrow that surrounded me. The sun could never fall away. The bliss that lays around me.
Yeah. We could sure use a little bit of rain.
We could use a lot of rain. A nice drizzle. Nice for drizzle. Days and days.
Oh, boy.
I'll just sit at the bottom of the burn unit with my gold pen and wait.
wait for the mudslide. Jeez.
Well, he was just over there.
Wow. I guess we have a caller.
We do. We've got Jimmy on the line. Good morning, Jimmy.
Hi, folks.
What can we do for you?
Calling again. Yeah, hey, these firefighters and all these first responders are doing a phenomenal job with controlling or, you know, trying to control the fire and keep it, you know, from burning houses down. Mm-hmm. But what I'd like to talk about is what's going to happen after, like, this fall and winter when, you know, the rains start coming down.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah, I imagine we're going to have the U.S. Wildlife Service, the Army Corps of Engineers, and the Regional Water Quality Board looking at all this. And the other entity that's coming in is FEMA. So what? There's going to be a lot of rules and regulations and stipulations that are going to be. It's going to be something to really get over. I don't know. It's going to be a storm fest. So what do you guys think about all those entities and everything that's going to happen after the fires are put out? And I'll take my answer off the air if that's okay.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Jimmy. We appreciate it.
Well, I guess we're still in shock from the fire, but I'm not sure how heavy-handed these guys are going to come in. I mean, I wish that Trump would just disband these things. Pretty much. I mean, it's gotten to the point where these guys don't it's not about air EPA, what is that, Environmental Protection Agency? It's like anything that in the government that they say they are. It's like social insecurity, it ain't protecting anything anymore. It's about an agenda that, is not the people's business. It's more of the communist in power's business, the deep state. So I don't know how that's going to go, but... Is it going to get ugly? Yeah, I think it's going to get ugly. It's just like Mark Baird said on the State of Jefferson. You know, until this gets so ugly that people go, I've had enough, and they either rise up or move, I don't see any end in sight here. But, getting a permit to build is without all this crap.
Is ridiculous.
Is ridiculous. Yeah. So I just don't see this as being a good thing. But maybe it'll make some people angry enough to do something besides sit at home and watch late night TV. I don't know.
Yeah, and really the only way that we're going to sway a lot of these things is either through direct protest and shutting them down and stopping them, or through elections. It is really the only thing that's going to fix this. But what we really have to understand is we need to start coming together as a community and going, okay, these things are unacceptable, and we need to figure out how to put a stop to them, how to do what we need to do. One of the biggest things that we need to do right now is to figure out what we can do to stop what happened. You know, whether it's global warming or it's fuels or whatever the causal problems of what happened, we need to identify the factors that created this disaster and do everything we can to stop and mitigate them.
Yeah, personally, I'm not too, the global warming thing, I don't think that's the cause. It being, I wasn't actually a licensed timber forester at one point. And I think it's all about fuel. Now, I think I think that if whatever they were spraying, the word is it had aluminum in there and that makes things more flammable. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a scientist in that respect. But, I mean, when you start seeing firenados, that's not normal. And so is it just fuel? I don't know. Maybe. But
That's the firefighters that I've talked to. And the global warming stuff and the pronouncement of the new normal over and over, and you're going to get that out of the higher command because that's the marching orders that they've been given out of Sacramento, and they've been told you want your budget. This is the agenda.
That's what it's about.
But the boots on the ground people that I have talked to and the people that have been in the fire business for decades say the same thing. fuels.
Fuels. Yeah. You don't clean up the forest. You don't log it. You don't clean it up. You don't go in there and harvest any of the wood, either before or after a burn. You just let it keep piling up. And what do you expect?
They would let the people do what we do and keep, management of our own property and stuff.
300 years ago, this is what happened. Yeah. When we weren't managing the forest managed itself. That's why they would have these big, huge burns.
Right.
Well, that's Native Americans would use control burns. Well, they knew.
Even then, if you had from lightning burns, when it burnt, it burned it off good, and then it would grow back.
Right.
It would take years to get back to where there was any excess fuel. The issue with the environmentalists is, like you say, let it burn. Well, that's fine. If you're living in frickin' San Francisco, you got other piles of problems.
Yeah, that you could burn.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah.
But
there's a perfect example. You remember some years ago, I believe it was Sierra Pacific wanted to put in a great big biomass plant. We could be harvesting those fuels that are burning down our homes right now and taking them and turning it into clean energy.
Right. Well, the thing is, this whole charade of that these guys are acting for the benefit of the planet is complete bull crap. I mean, the real deal is it's like, oh, we want clean air. Let it burn. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, gee, we want to, put a smog device on every car in the world, so that we have clean air. But at the same time, we're going to make sure that we have hundreds of thousands of acres burn, millions of acres burn off in the West, and that's going to make clean air, but that's a natural thing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, what is the carbon footprint of just between this and the Mendocino fire? What's the carbon footprint?
It's all BS. They have an agenda. It's a political agenda to control everyone and everything, exactly like the communists and the socialists do, and that's what their goal is. And it's funny how everybody becomes poor except a few at the top, and all these rules are to control everybody. They don't give a crap if you're prosperous or breathing crap. It's like San Francisco. How many times do you think Nancy Pelosi is walk down Gary Street or Broadway
exactly. Yeah,
she doesn't step over poo because there's no poo to step over on her, a 1,000-acre ranch in Napa.
What it comes down to is the environmental movement has been hijacked, and it's the new religion. We've gone from churches to psychology to environmentalism, and it's about control and controlling the thought processes and social engineering. And if you don't think it's about religion, go and try and tell somebody that you don't believe in the climate models, and how long does it take before they're pointing at you, a witch?
Yeah, they're whacked out. I mean, they fall to the ground on their knees and start screaming. Yeah. So I don't know. It's crazy. But let's move on a little bit here, because I want to bring this. This is from the L.A. Times. Before becoming LAPD chief, Moore retired and collected $1.27 million in a payout, and then was rehired. Come on. I mean,
I believe they refer to that as pension spiking.
And we wonder why we're in trouble on the pensions. But this is a microcosm of the complete lack of morality at the top of the chains of all of these organizations that government has. They're all doing this. I mean, you're the chief of police and you get a $1.2 million payout? And then you go back to work. It's like unbelievable. And so this is one of the microcosms of, Moore said in an interview that the plan to have him rehired and then return almost immediately to work was proposed by former chief Charlie Beck and approved by the mayor. And you wonder what the freaking problem is? This is the problem in general. We have too much government. It's out of freaking control. They look at us like we're chattel to be harvested. They don't give a crap about us taxpayers. And it goes with the fires. Now, that's not to say there's not some good people in these organizations trying to do the right thing, but the overall thrust of government is not about taking care of us.
Well, it's because by its very nature, government is immoral. Government exists because of immorality. Government exists because common people are incapable of making the decision for themselves of what is moral or immoral, or are too lazy or afraid to enforce the consequences of immorality, so they construct government to do it for them.
Well, and then they don't mind dumbing everybody down, you know, taking over the school so that you're so too that you actually really are too stupid to stand up for yourself, and you don't even understand what freedom is, you know, and then you don't know what the alternatives are, so you just kind of keep going along and trying to be live your life happy, and government just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Anybody notice a trend here in the last 50 years?
Yes, and the more immoral we become, the more government we require.
That's right. The more you actually need government because you are a piece of crap.
Mm-hmm. If you think about it, the ultimate form of morality is the lack of government. It is anarchy because if people behave morally, we would not require it.
Right. If men were angels, we wouldn't need to write a constitution, I think was Madison, in the Federalist Papers. So it is true. It is true. So that's why Benjamin Franklin said that this constitution was made for a moral people and was wholly inadequate for anybody else. So what's the first thing you do if you're trying to take over the country? Debase everybody's morality. Yep. Gee, does that sound like anything that's been happening in the last 50 years? Do you remember when I was a kid? I don't know if you remember that far back, but I remember. When I was
a
kid,
so.
Shut up. We didn't leave our doors locked. We didn't have to worry about anybody stealing. There was no poop all over the streets. There wasn't needles everywhere. Yeah. There wasn't a bunch of idiots hanging out in the park looking for a fix. It's because of liberal democratic policies that we need to help them. You know that they're giving $40,000, spending $40,000. Per homeless guy in San Francisco a year to take care of them. How's that freaking working out? Maybe they need what you got to do to your son when they're about 20 years old is kick them out of the house and tell them go sink or swim a little bit and start learning how to work and support yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't make it so they can go to the mailbox and collect their checks.
I feel sorry.
Free phones.
You're not smart enough. Here's a couple of needles and some food and be back
laziness.
Tomorrow.
It's moral laziness. There is no real compassion behind doing that because all you're doing is helping to enable somebody to kill themselves because you are so morally corrupt or so lazy that you can't dig in and give the tough love that's required.
But what's happening is that you're actually doing a disservice because of your weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Your weakness of not having enough cojones to say, you got to get out and do something for yourself, and, you know, you need to learn to survive. I feel so bad that you can't do this, and you're not smart enough, and you're not good enough.
Well,
doggone it, you know, everybody likes you.
Well, that's where you come up with this disease model of addiction, that they are so happy and so things. And what it comes down to is the addiction model. It's not a disease. It's inherent in all of us. Everybody has their vice, whether for some people it's religion, for some people it's a needle, for some people we all have the capacity within us. The difference is some of us have the willpower to overcome and some of us don't. And if you enable somebody to remain weak in their willpower and you don't help to tougher them up and armor them so they can defeat their own demons, you are not helping them.
And this is, okay, and here's a story. This is about the EPA, United States Environmental Protection Agency. The former head of the EPA, Scott Pruitt, recently resigned due to intense political pressure and death threats against his family. President Trump replaced him with Andrew Wheeler, who has now discontinued effort to repeal the job-killing ozone smog regulations imposed by the Obama administration. This is a retreat from the campaign promises by President Trump, who singled out the ozone standard as one of the four EPA regulations he would definitely eliminate. Do you see what's going on? They don't give a crap about this. That what they give a crap about is maintaining their control over everything through their environmental regulations. That's what they give a crap about. And so that's
They don't want anything to happen to their power.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, they want to stay in power.
So moving along, here's because we got about a half an hour. We have a guest at the top of the hour.
We should, yeah.
So I want to get a couple of these other things covered. I guess the mainstream media missed this one. Muslim man accused of training abused children at a New Mexico shelter to commit school shootings. But we would rather talk about collusion with Russia because a guy who's out there training kids in New Mexico to commit school shootings.
Yeah, and the officials knew about this, and
well,
they did nothing?
How do they...
Oh, he just happens to be a Muslim, too.
Oh.
Yeah, he happens to be the son of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the first bomber of the World Trade Center. But we're not keeping an eye on that guy. And my question is, you know,
is why can this guy have his little compound out there in New Mexico where he's abusing children and training them for school shootings and all these other horrible things, and he gets arrested. But if your name's David Koresh and you're a Branch Davidian in Waco, you get burned to death by your government.
Yeah. this Waha
is just so sick.
This Waha guy is, Sarah something Waha, I don't know how to do it, is the father of a boy who went missing in Georgia after he told the boy's mother that he wanted to perform an exorcism on the child. He later said he was taking the child to a park and didn't return. Authorities say that the remains of the boy were found in a compound on the compound, but have not been positively identified by medical examiners. Waha's father is the imam who was named by prosecutors as possible co-conspirator in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Mm-hmm. And I guess that just doesn't make the news.
Doesn't
fit the narrative.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And with that, we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, Dorothy.
Hello. I've been listening to this guy on the radio, and he's talking about the geoengineering that's going on in our skies. Well, I've been out in my backyard, I counted 21 chemtrails across the sky. And I believe, and I don't believe in global warming, but I think that somebody's, they're doing something with our climate.
I wouldn't be surprised at all, Dorothy. Yeah,
because Al Gore started all this EPA crap, and I just don't believe in it, and I don't like to get in any arguments with my family about it because they think that it's not, that it's just a change in the climate. It isn't. I've been around a long time, and I know this.
Well, we have climate change. We actually do, Dorothy. It's called winter, spring, summer, and fall.
But see, the Earth replenishes itself every so many millions or thousands of years.
Well, it runs in cycles.
Yeah, if you don't disturb it.
Well, realistically, it runs in cycles. Yeah. I mean, you've had periods of time where you've got more, it's hotter than other periods. I mean, remember the Ice Age?
Well, yeah, I know. I know. I understand all that. But see, somebody ought to check into this geoengineering thing that's going on.
Well, somebody's been checking into it, and I haven't heard any definitive cause but I haven't heard any definitive call on who is responsible and how it can be stopped.
Well, this guy, I didn't take anything down, but he gave some names, but I didn't write them down, so I'm sorry I didn't. Because I thought maybe somebody else would, and you can pick up this stuff down at the Orchard Nutrition Center if you want to know more about it.
I'm pretty sure you're speaking about Dane Wigington.
I believe so.
Yeah, and we have no bone to pick with Dane Wigington. But my only thing is, who is responsible, and how do we stop them?
Well, they think it's caused from our own government, and people should talk to President Trump about it because he's the head of Washington, D.C.
I agree, but it doesn't seem to be on the radar anywhere.
Well, my main question is for geoengineering, where's the graft? Where is someone benefiting? You were talking about what has to be a massively expensive program that involves thousands of aircraft.
There should be
tens of thousands of ground crew pilots, all of these things.
Well, I know, but
the money to pay them, the chemicals.
Yeah, where's it coming from?
This.
Who's doing it?
Well, they think that NASA, they think it's coming from NASA.
For what benefit? What are they attempting to accomplish by it?
That's what we got to find out.
Right. I mean, I'm all for getting to the bottom of this, but I haven't seen any concrete evidence pointing at somebody saying they're the ones that are doing it that you could identify, that you could actually say, start petitioning or go to your Congress. Or maybe it's the media that nobody will even acknowledge that there's anything going on, and that's part of the problem. But I just don't see any concrete way to fight that at this point, except taking back control of your government, and that's what we're concentrating on the most, I think.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of times when we broach the question, well, who's involved and what do we do about it, the answer we get back is they're all in on it and it's too late already.
Well, what's the end game with it?
They've had these seminars over here. They had one set up down at the district fairground, but then they had to put it up to
because of the fire.
Right,
holiday. And but I didn't go to any of them because I wanted to, but I wanted to ask a few questions. And I don't know how many people go, but I think that there's something going on, and it's got to be taken care of because it's not good for our country.
I agree, Dorothy.
I totally agree with that. Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff going on, and that we go back to taking care of ourselves and getting the government out of our way.
I'll go so far as to say is I don't know if it's good for our country or not until I know what it is.
Yeah, if you get too big of a government, that isn't good. We need a smaller government, and Trump's trying to do the best he can, I guess, because he's trying to drain the swamp, and he's having a hard time. And then you get all these other people on the far left that want to... You know, put him down. I just don't understand it.
Well, thanks for the call, Dorothy.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
We got to move on. But,
all right.
We appreciate
all right, thanks
that.
For calling in.
Well,
I mean, like the geoengineering thing, I can look up and see there's something going on.
I agree. I can
tell you the sky did not look like that when I was a kid. I don't know what's changed. And I can tell you that's not steam. You can look up studies, and it will tell you that steam
It's not condensation.
It's not. Yeah, you cannot get a steam condensation trail to last over 7 minutes. They tried in Vietnam and World War II. The United States military invested millions so that they could create artificial cover with steam. And
is there a relationship to what we got going on with the fires and everything else?
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know, but I
probably,
need...
Probably, but...
Yeah.
There you have it. For sure.
So, I mean, but the you know, to Dorothy's point about the government being completely out of control, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's gotten so out of control that it's taken over the media. I think this goes back to the big bankers and corporation because they're not reporting anything. Europe is starting to contagion out right now, financially. I mean, Turkey's having a problem with their money. You know, the Deutsche Bank looks like it's really starting to tank again. None of it gets through.
Well, the big six are in trouble too. Did you, see where the United States government, the court, authorized United States military veterans to sue the Big Six because they were working with Iran to support Iranian terrorism. So if you were a U.S. veteran and you were harmed in an Iranian terrorist attack, you are now, the door is open for you to sue Royal Bank of Scotland, HSBC,
oh, that could be good.
Credit Suisse.
There's been no accountability, and that's one of the big things bone I have to pick with Trump is he keeps borrowing more money. Is there a reset thing coming? Is there a collapse? Is he doing it on purpose? But you just can't keep borrowing more money and expect this thing to not collapse. So
maybe that's the idea.
That's not going to be
so
good.
So we can start rebuilding, but
it's not going to be good for a lot of people. I'm telling you.
But where we're going isn't good either.
Well,
everything that's happening isn't good.
Is there any way to avoid a collapse?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay, if there's no way to get out of the collapse, should you not do everything you can to accelerate it and compound it and get it over with? Because the longer it goes on, the worse it's going to be.
I just don't know what's going on with Trump at this point because I want Sessions to get fired or do something. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, there's just things I don't understand.
But if you know it's going to collapse, maybe before it collapses, you can put things into place so when it does collapse, that you can rebuild yourself back up better.
If you know the money's going to collapse anyways, why not spend all of it and borrow all of it that you can because it's about to be worthless to try and bring back manufacturing?
Let's go to a break, and then Mary,
hold the line. Hold the line.
And because we got 50 minutes to the top of the hour, so we need to get a break.
All right. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do I help you? All I need is my brother. I say I'm gonna get high.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
It's the Shasta County Mini Maker Fair. It's the open call for makers. So, what do you make? We're celebrating engineering, arts, crafts, science, technology, and do-it-yourself. Your chance to show off your work. Everything from robotics, electronics, gaming, sewing, blacksmithing, crafters, student projects, dance performers, 3D printing, music, performers, and much more. Application deadline is August 9th for the September 15th Maker Fair. Contact makers at MakerFairShasta.com or visit ShastaCounty.MakerFair.com.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't pour, you know, just a light drizzle.
Yeah, just a nice steady rain.
Yeah.
You know, we want
because otherwise we're going to have a big mess out there.
I know. We want to say thank you to the firefighters. I mean, we criticize the government in general big time for a lot of things, but you know, we do want to tell the firefighters out there that they've done a great job. We really appreciate all.
And
the
that
help.
Includes all. Everybody on the line. Everybody
yeah,
that's working the
them.
Fire.
Yeah.
The task that they pulled off. Everybody, 38,000 people were running the opposite direction. These guys were headed into the fire. And I don't think anybody would have blamed them if they pulled out.
Yeah.
And they dug in.
I don't know how they do it.
And I go by the fairgrounds every morning almost. And every morning, same time, they're loaded up. They're headed out.
I mean, I almost became a firefighter early on, and I couldn't stand the smoke. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
the heat and the misery.
It's just miserable.
Yeah.
You know, and time after time after time in these
hour
fires,
after hour,
they have put themselves in harm's way, and it was just a complete Herculean task of what they pulled off, and they will always have our deepest and sincerest gratitude.
Yep.
All right. Well, we have a caller.
We do.
And we need to kind of hurry up, too,
okay,
because we're getting to the top
All right.
of the hour.
Good morning, Art. What can we do for you?
Yeah, hi. I'll make this quick.
Okay.
You may know something about it. I don't. I thought I caught the end of a news broadcast that said some judge here in California threw out this three-state split.
They did.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yep.
on what grounds did they do that? Do you know?
They just did it. I mean, they're out of control. I mean, they should have got onto the ballot because they had enough signatures for the initiative to get onto the ballot. And the Supreme Court basically said that they had no standing and they couldn't.
There was no legal method to split a state as
right.
well. Which is a bald.
Which is complete crap.
Right.
But they just do it. They're doing whatever they want up there. Now, I disagree with the three-state split. I think that was a bad line of
defense.
No. But the way they split the state up was
right.
ridiculous
yeah.
because it was going to cause four more Democratic senators, and it wasn't
yeah.
going to help the rural,
yeah.
rural areas at all. But,
yeah, it was no good. I just figured what grounds was this done on? I'm not a lawyer. I just wondered how they came to that.
They just did it. Yeah.
I mean, they presented their reasonings and everything, but essentially what it comes down to is our courts now create the law to be what they want it
yeah.
to be on the
yeah.
day
they
that they
want it
to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, they interpret it and enforce it the way they want it.
They're legislating from the bench.
Yeah.
You know, is that going to be dropped then, whoever was pushing this? Is he
Tim Draper.
Yeah, he just announced he's not going to fight it.
Huh. I'll be damned.
But,
right,
you know,
guys.
All right,
Scalia,
thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Justice Scalia nailed it when he said words no longer mean what they mean.
Well, that's the danger with the semantics and the words. If they start to change their meaning, you know, it's like I always use the example of a vampire in Brooklyn with Eddie Murphy. You know, the vampire's up there and he's like, if it wasn't for evil, there'd be no good. Therefore, evil is good. Well, when you can't tell the difference between evil and good because the words don't mean anything anymore, man, you are going down a bad road.
You might be a millennial.
Yeah, you might be a millennial.
We do have another caller on the line. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, guys. Yeah, you probably clarified this, but when you're on hold, you can't hear the radio. You used to be able to. I don't know why you can't anymore, but... Anyway, it was the Supreme Court of the state of California. That's
right.
Important for people to know. Not the Supreme Court of the United States, number one.
Right.
And number two, the reason that they said it couldn't go on the ballot is because it would be, simplest terms, without legalese, is that it was too hard for the government environmentally, and it was too hard for the government to do. Mm-hmm. That is why...
They said environmentally?
Yep. Yeah.
That's insanity.
Well, the whole thing is that you're right, Mark. They're out of control, and you're absolutely right. Since when is something that the people want too hard for the government to do? The government just needs to do it.
The government's supposed to respond to the people, you know, in the way our government is set up. You know, if the people say, well, this is what we want, then the government is supposed to respond, not the other way around.
Well, Roberta came on our show earlier and made a comment. I had forgotten about the Doug LaMalfa made, and that comment was, you folks elected me to go back and do what I believe is the best thing to do. Not what you want, but what I believe is the best thing to do. In other words, we elected
right.
him for his opinion and his position, which is not even close to the case. But if you're dealing with that on a mass level, then that's the issue that we're dealing with. It's a lack of representation. And that's the bottom line, all of this. But anyway, good show, guys. But I know you got a guest coming in, but I just want to make sure, and you probably said it anyway, that it was the Supreme Court of the state of California.
Right.
But
there's a judge in the California Supreme Court.
Right. Good job, buddy. I couldn't hear, so I just want to make sure people knew that, because we got a question on that. Anyway, have a great day.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Gary.
All right.
If we elected Doug LaMalfa for his opinion instead of doing what we want him to do, we might as well elect a deaf mute. The man doesn't have an opinion of his own that I'm aware of, or he's aware of.
Listen, I want to hit this QAnon story, because we beat that horse to death.
Well, we could get going on that flyer that he put out at taxpayer expenses, too. Oh, I've done all of these things to defend you in the North State and bring the bacon home and harvest timber, and look at the tax cut I passed. Who are you trying to fool, Doug? And point out to me one stick of timber... One piece of fuel that's been reduced because of a damn thing that you've done, you big-headed dork.
Yeah. I'm not going to chime in on that because we only got 5 minutes. I'm really tempted to, but I want to talk about this QAnon story.
Well, he spends taxpayer money to put out a flyer to say, look at me, and he's done none of what he says he's done.
What have you done? Name one thing that you've
Maybe
done.
Maybe we get a caller in the next hour and they'll tell us something.
If I was an Indian casino, you're my best friend. But unfortunately, I live in the North State. If I was harvesting crops and growing rice and I had 150% crop insurance, yeah, you're my buddy, Doug. But other than that, I'm kind of out in the cold.
I think that's the rant of the day.
A little bit. I'm irritated with the man.
I can tell.
No.
I'm irritated with them all.
I think a lot of people are. But
I totally,
we can pick this up.
I don't disagree with you at all, but I want to talk about this QAnon story before
we
get to the next hour.
Go.
Last week, the Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, CNBC, CLSD, Bloomberg, New York, blah, 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 and, written a plethora of over 20 articles about this QAnon movement, all using the same talking points. Does that tell you anything right there? To marginalize this movement. Now, I don't know, exactly what's going on here, but what's interesting is that such a coordinated media barrage of negative coverage hasn't happened since WikiLeaks published the Podesta emails.
Weird.
Now, does that maybe get your spidey sense to sort of,
You mean kind of like when they murdered Andrew Breitbart because he was about to break the story?
Yeah, something like that.
No, that didn't happen.
Over the course of last week, the cultural and political phenomenon known as QAnon movement has been categorically attacked at nearly every major legacy media organization in the United States in what appears to be a coordinated effort to mischaracterize and discredit it in rapid succession. Now, I don't know, I'm not saying that this QAnon movement is, spot on and 100% accurate or anything, but I'm not saying they aren't either, because I look at this stuff and the fake news isn't fake. I mean, the fake news is pushing so many false narratives that when they start to push on something as a false narrative, again, it makes me think that it's probably true.
Yeah.
So it's something that we might want to keep under.
It's like having a contrary.
Yeah.
Like when you find that guy that's wrong all the time, you start to listen to him and do the opposite of what he says.
Yeah, because it's like listening to the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, it's like a weather vane.
Yeah, anytime they say we're prosperous, we're not.
Yeah, exactly. It's always the opposite.
Get out the storm shutters, Moss.
So we're going to have more on this, but there's a lot of stuff going on in this QAnon thing, and it's coming from the 4chan, so nobody really knows who the QAnon is. But
or if it's even an individual.
Yeah, stay tuned. I mean, I'm not sure exactly where this whole thing ends up, but I do understand that I think the mainstream media is the enemy of the people because they are the disinformation media.
Yeah.
And
they have been.
They have been for quite a while. And so you can't believe anything that they tell you. And so when they attack something, what's a good example of? Trump colluded with Russia.
Yeah. And how long's that been going on?
2 years. Yeah. Over 2 years, and no evidence.
With the same.
Benefit has Russia seen from colluding with Trump to get him elected? Name one benefit.
I guess because
we really need to get Jeopardy music on cue.
Dun, dun, dun. I know. Trump imposed.
And for the bonus round.
I mean, I don't know. I got a thing here that says Trump just imposed the sanctions from hell on Russia. Who knows anymore what the truth is? Because there's so much disinformation, it's freaking ridiculous.
That's for sure.
So you got to choose your, choose wisely.
Look it up yourself. Start investigating.
Yeah.
It takes all of us
like
to start digging,
It's like the Holy Grail. You must choose wisely, my son.
Yeah.
And we're at the top of the hour. Please stay tuned for the second part of Sovereign Minds. This is KCNR 1460.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com, I'm Jeremy House. Dozens of activists and residents gathered at a Charlottesville, Virginia city park to protest racism and observe the one-year anniversary of a rally by a white supremacist that turned deadly.
All Jim Crow, New Jim Crow, racist system got control.
This group came together in direct response to white nationalists who gathered in Charlottesville a year ago today for a Unite the Right rally. The city wants to mark the anniversary of the deadly gathering of white supremacists with rallies against racial hatred. Last year, there were clashes in the city streets between the white supremacists and counter-protesters. Later, a car driven into a crowd struck and killed a 32-year-old. I'm Julie Walker.
The investigators are piecing together how an airline ground agent at SeaTac International Airport stole an empty commercial airplane. Family spokesman Mike Matthews says Richard Russell, whose nickname was Bebo, did not mean any malice toward anyone.
As the voice recordings show, Bebo's intent was not to harm anyone. He was right in saying that there are so many people who have loved him.
Russell performed dangerous loops and other maneuvers before crashing into a remote island in Puget Sound. Former presidential advisor Omarosa Monegal Newman paints an unflattering picture of President Trump in her new book Unhinged, including claims that tapes exist of him using racist comments as he filmed his Apprentice reality series. White House counselor Kellyanne Conway says she never heard Mr. Trump make a racial slur, that Omarosa is not credible.
She told ABC News the day after she was fired that she had resigned. She's now saying she was fired. She told ABC News the day after she was fired that quote, Donald Trump, no, he's not a racist, that she wouldn't have been there.
Conway appeared on Fox News Sunday. President Trump says he may have to get involved personally because he says the FBI is refusing to cooperate with public records pertaining to FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe.
How much do you spend on your pest control each year? $200? $300 or even $500 or more? What if I said you could spend less than $25 a year, even less with promo code RADIO20? Then listen up. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-in Pest Free, and yes, it is possible to rid your home or business of unwanted pests for less than $25 per year. The answer is Plug-in Pest Free. Our best seller, the Plug-in Pest Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. For just a one-time cost of only $249, even less with promo code RADIO20, you'll be pest-free for years to come. Log on to gopestfree.com today. Use promo code RADIO20 and start driving those pests away. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com. That's gopestfree.com, promo code RADIO20.
Republican strategist Steve Bannon weighed into British politics by defending former Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson's comments about Muslim face veils.
President Trump's former aide said Johnson said nothing wrong when comparing women in burqas to letterboxes and bank robbers. Bannon said apologizing would be bowing at the altar of political correctness. Johnson made the comments in a newspaper column that argued against banning full face veils, as Denmark has done. Boris Johnson's representatives have said he won't apologise despite requests for an apology by Britain's Prime Minister Theresa May and Muslim groups. Karen Chamas, London.
Syrian opposition activists say an explosion in the country's north has killed at least 18 people and wounded many others. The cause of the blast wasn't immediately known. The opposition-run Syrian Civil Defense says the blast occurred Sunday in the village of Sarmada near the Turkish border and killed and wounded dozens. News and analysis at townhall.com. A NASA spacecraft is on its way to the sun. The Parker Solar Probe rocketed away from Cape Canaveral, Florida early today. It's on an unprecedented quest that'll take it straight through the wispy edges of the sun's outer atmosphere. Rice Space Institute Director David Alexander says understanding the sun will help get manned missions to Mars.
Mars is a kind of dangerous radiation environment as well. And so if we can understand the physical processes that happen back at the sun, we'll have a better sense of what the radiation environment might be and then a better idea of how to protect the astronauts from that radiation environment.
The probe will fly closer to our star than anything ever sent before. The U.S. Geological Survey says two earthquakes have hit Alaska. The agency says a magnitude 6.5 quake struck an area 343 miles northeast of Fairbanks. A little while later, a magnitude 5.1 earthquake hit an area farther north. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the red dawn.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. We're back into the second hour here, and I wanted to just touch on one thing before we get to our guests, just briefly, about the InfoWars and Alex Jones. I mean, the fact that they're shutting down his website and so forth and shutting him up. But I'll tell you what, if that doesn't scare the crap out of you, that's a big issue because... you know, whether you agree with
Alex whether
Jones
you like
or not,
him or not,
that's even an issue. The fact that who's in charge of all this stuff. It's like I posted on Facebook this morning that gal that's running for congressman, for Congress, Elizabeth Hung, and, you know, she's Asian American and she's got a great message. And they just said that she was, her video was divisive because it showed communist, atrocities back in the day in Vietnam.
Because she showed the truth?
Freaking atrocious.
I know. So, with that said... Because
she was showing the right...
Yeah, she was actually telling the
truth. About what really happened back then?
The truth seems to be in short supply these days in a lot of arenas. Yeah.
And don't listen to a gal that probably came from a family that experienced it firsthand.
Yeah. Yeah, because you wouldn't want to do that because then that would, you know, might pop your illusion and... of grandeur when it comes to socialist and communistic programs. Anyway, with that, we should get to our guest.
Yeah, we do. Go ahead.
Okay, well, our guest is Carrie Lutz.
Lutz, I believe.
Lutz, that's how it's pronounced. I believe we've had him on the show before. And he is in charge of the Financial Survival Network. And you can go to www.carrielutz.com. That's K-E-R-R-L-U-T-Z.com. Oh, there's a Y in there, K-E-R-R-Y-L-U-T-Z.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a financial guy that looks like he's been around for quite a while, and he's got a book out, Financial Survival Toolkit. I don't know. I don't have too much more in front of me in the background, but, you know, he's, you know, does strategies and for speculation in the market. So, anyway, are you there with us, Carrie?
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on.
You bet. Thanks for coming on.
I hope I didn't chop up that intro too bad. I was kind of scrambling around on my computer.
You got it all, other than the fact I'm a recovering attorney.
Oh, man. No.
For 30 years.
Well, we have to mention that for sure, because that could be a black mark on the chalkboard.
Yeah, Donald.
Well, he said former.
Oh, former. Okay, well, everybody deserves a second chance.
Recovery.
Good morning, Carrie. And, you know, what do you think about what's going on in the markets right now? I mean, do you think Trump's our guy? Is the fact that Germany and Turkey and all that stuff in Europe's going on? And, you know, what's your take on all this stuff that seems to be a big, huge mess?
Yeah, well, I think the U.S. has been a patsy since World War II, paying everybody, keeping the world afloat to the point where we're broke and wide swaths of industry have fled the country where the tax system was totally out of whack. So Trump's trying to turn back the hands of time, and it's not an easy task, especially when... Continue.
We're losing you.
Yeah, we're getting a broke up signal from Carrie here. Still there, Mr. Jones?
I'm here. I'm here.
I'm not sure you got hit a bad spot or something, so we'll just keep trying to go on here.
I'll stay here by the window.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Yeah, there you go.
That works.
Yeah, so the rest of the world has been living off of the U.S.'s largesse for many, many decades. And Trump is putting a stop to it, like with NATO, like with the EU saying, hey, even if you don't want our cars, that's fine, but don't charge a 25% duty when we charge a 2.5% duty or 5% on a Mercedes or a BMW or a whatever. You got to open things up, make it a level playing field. And you know, they finally relented. The EU caved. Well, what else do you expect from the Euro weenies? You know, we bailed them out time and time again.
Yeah, you turned again, so we're not getting a great signal again. Did we lose you?
We lost him. I think he's probably calling back in.
Yeah, no. That's unfortunately.
It could be several things, yeah. I'm not sure where he's at.
Oh, yeah.
But he'll probably figure it out and give. Oh, we probably have to call him.
Yeah, you probably have to call
him. Yeah, he probably doesn't have our number, yeah. But yeah.
Anyway, so I'm inclined to agree with him as far as what's going on here.
That we've been bailing people out for centuries.
And the war has to start someplace. I mean, and I don't mean a war of military might. I mean a war of the trade war. I mean, you got to start squaring it up sooner somewhere. I mean, we've been getting our butts handed to us since World War II because, you know, of our politicians who are nothing but a bunch of milquetoast, boneheaded, morally corrupt, bankrupt, you know, servants of themselves. Did I miss anything there? I noticed Red's awful quiet. He's thinking.
I don't think so. No. I think that pretty much kind of...
So...
Yeah. I mean...
Seeing if we can get Mr. Lutz back on the line, but... No, evidently we've lost him. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you never know what might happen.
Well, anyway, we'll try to move on, but...
Yeah.
I was going to ask him, what does he think about the spending that Trump's been doing as far as the, you know, we're spending on the new Space Force, we're spending on, you know, we just keep spending more and more and more money and borrowing from the Federal Reserve. Well, we're printing treasuries and then selling them. So we're printing treasuries out of nothing and selling them to the Federal Reserve, who prints the money out of nothing. So we have a promise to pay backed by a note that is worthless. So, and that's what could go wrong. So with that said, I mean, and we keep digging this hole deeper and deeper and deeper, what's going to be the end result? I mean,
yeah, that's what you got to kind of look at is, you know.
Can they do it forever? I guess.
No. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah, can you just keep stacking up your balance sheet with treasuries and be the only one that buys them? I mean, it was epic on Thursday. I mean, if you watch the chart on Thursday on the bond buying on treasuries, it was epic. I mean, as soon as the bonds start to collapse because there's no buyers, somebody buys everything and buys it on an epic scale.
That's amazing how that happens, huh?
Well... As near as I can figure, and this is according to Greg Mattarino as well, the only buyer is the Fed. I mean, who's going to buy treasuries right now? China? Oh, they're dumping them.
Nope.
Let's see. Russia.
Everybody's getting rid of them.
Russia? Nope.
Try again.
The common person out here who's, you know, in the home. Nope. They're in the market. And so everybody's driving in the stock market because the stock market will continue to go higher and it's never going to end.
Yeah. Ever.
Ever.
Never.
God, doesn't that sound vaguely familiar? Like
we can print money forever.
Doesn't matter. Debts don't matter.
Lies finally catch up with you sooner or later.
Well,
you got to pay the piper.
In 2008,
so to speak, you know?
I mean, if you're buying stocks in 2007, it was never going to end.
But it did.
And property. You know, remember it was a credit default swap problem as far as with the banks and lending too much money out and then finally defaulting because people couldn't make their payments.
And
of course,
our
housing is doing just well, really well.
I was going to say, we got another wave coming with that, you know, so to speak.
Well, I actually think it's going to be the commercial retail market that hemorrhages out first.
I don't know. We gotta have a wheel. Spin the wheel. Make a deal. I'm thinking it's the pensions.
It could be.
Could it be the pensions? Could it be the over-leveraged banking?
Maybe we should start a pool.
Yeah, I think we should do a pool. We'll have it on account. You know, you can pick a date when it's gonna fold
and what's gonna
cause it. Yeah, and if you and then you get to win a double prize.
There's only one problem because if any of us are right, the money that we put in the pool ain't worth nothing.
That's all right because
all right, we can put something else. Didn't say it had to be green dollars that we put in there.
If you win, you know, then you've been preparing and you're not impoverished completely.
I want paid out in ammo and toilet paper.
There you go. That'll be that could be our prize.
No whiskey and beer?
We could buy a ton of toilet paper, and that could be the surprise, is that if you get and you win and in the Double Jeopardy categories, you
get your 3 sheets of toilet paper.
No, you get enough butt cloth for, sorry, Ashley, for a year. A year's worth of toilet paper. That's not a bad deal.
That's a good deal.
I think we should try it.
All depends on who wins. I mean, that could be a lot of toilet paper.
And if
mountain money.
Second prize gets a box of Kleenex. Third prize. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway
we do have a caller on the line. We've got Matt.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, guys. I just want to throw 3 things out there. First, you can go on YouTube and find George Soros talking about intentionally collapsing the dollar. They're building world government, so when the system finally collapses, it's going to be a worldwide economic issue. And second thing is, there are many states, like Jefferson could do this, that are moving to a gold and silver to make it legalized tender again.
Yep.
To address that. And that's a big thing. And third thing is just keep up the fight. You guys have a good day.
All right. Thanks a lot.
He's absolutely correct. I mean, you got Texas has moved to.
I was going to say, how many we got now? 3?
Texas, Utah has moved. Mm-hmm. We got South Dakota. And then I think Arizona is moving that direction, and maybe one of the states back east, I think it's just North or South Carolina, had a bill going up. And, people are starting to wake up. Let's just hope that, it's not too late. But I don't know. We live in, what's the old Confucius curse? May you live in interesting times. We live in some really interesting times right now.
Nobody ever dreamed we'd be living in. Not me, anyway. I mean, come on. Who's seen anything like this going on or had foresight that this was going to be happening?
She likes watching Happy Days.
And the answer to that question is the Roman Empire.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy Days.
I don't watch Happy Days, but okay.
These days are... No, never mind. We should play Bill Haley in the comments now. Anyway, we do have...
We got Terry on the line. What can we do for you, Terry?
Well, I just wanted to... Mark, you're absolutely correct, and Matt's correct. I know that when we've gone to the 23 counties, we've gotten a total consensus that, yes, Jefferson would be gold and silver, my friend. Most definitely. I think that that's 99-1 if you wanted to have a ratio that gold and silver, we'd have our own standard here in Jefferson, absolutely.
Yeah,
that would be.
I totally agree with you. I mean, that's what we got to do. I mean, if you want to get back to prosperity, free markets and sound money are the foundation of prosperity. It's really that simple. I mean, everything else flows out of that. And you know, when people are debasing your currency, you're stealing your worth by debasing the currency, and you don't have a private bank issuing currency and charging you interest on it. I mean, the one question I always ask, and the question that woke me up more than any other thing about this whole deal was, if we had our own bank issuing our currency, why would we charge ourselves interest?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but I just want to encourage you that, yes, that's something that everybody has talked about, and there's a good, strong general consensus, and one more good reason for the state of Jefferson. Absolutely, couldn't agree with you more.
I was already planning speeches on the floor of the House in the state of Jefferson with my cane and Daniel Webster about sound money, I'm going to be in a fist fight before I get out of the floor.
What?
You won't have to do that, my good friend.
That's good, because I want to retire.
Everybody's in agreement with that. That's almost a given. Just like our Second Amendment will be the Second Amendment, we will have open carry. We will have gun rights, the gun rights that we are entitled to under the Constitution.
Yeah, we will actually have a First Amendment, free speech, freedom of press, assembly, grievances, and what's the other one? Petition. No.
Right to petition, address the grievance.
Yeah. Now there's one more. We got free speech, free press, freedom of religion, grievances, and assembly. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Right, right to redress grievances and then the right to assemble peaceably, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is that, you know, you're spot on. And, I mean, you know, representation is the bottom line. It's the silver bullet. And you guys were on that pretty good before you went into the second hour. And I think that that was, I mean, you were absolutely right. Red has some good things to say about that, as you did. And I know that you wanted to weigh in on representation, weigh in on the Constitution and stuff. And, you know, that's something that but we can start doing right now in supporting the CFR and supporting the court case. But anyway, I wanted to add that just a little bit. Good show, guys. And, again, my good friend, you know, bring your cane anyway because, you know, you may have to be security.
I'd rather have my fishing pole, Terry.
There you go, buddy.
I want my gold pan.
Yeah. Well,
I want my gold pan.
I'm still confused. If I was at my own bank and I lent myself money and I charged myself interest and then I printed extra money to pay myself the interest, I would have more money to loan myself, right?
Except that the interest keeps going up and you'll never have enough because every time you print, you borrow.
But it's cool because it's my interest.
It's my money.
Except it's really not. It's their interest, and you are just a vassal of whoever's printing the dough.
Except it really isn't. But it's not money either. It's just paper.
So it only works if I am the bank.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just paper.
It's and paper.
That could be our award. That could be our award program. If the whole thing falls, then we will not only award a year's supply of toilet paper, we will award a year's supply of Federal Reserve notes that will substitute as toilet paper.
Okay.
Just like in Venezuela, the bolivars is up 3,000,000%. I'm not kidding.
Maybe instead of toilet paper, we should give out an economy-sized jug of Vaseline.
Boy.
I'm not going to touch that.
Nope.
Yeah. But you see, representation is the issue, but the representation is also the reason you have to have an educated public, because you can't do good representation unless the public is educated enough to tell them what to do properly.
We can't even get educated representatives. Right. I challenge any of these guys to take an 8th grade Constitution test.
Yeah, I doubt if they pass.
How many of them would, do you think?
Five?
Maybe.
I'd like to see a judge take an 8th grade Constitution test and see if he can pass it.
I think this should be, are you smarter than a 5th grader? Can you pass the Constitution test? That should be a requirement for these guys to even take office.
Yeah.
You know, they raise their right hand and they swear to protect and uphold the Constitution, except they don't know what the hell's in it.
No. We learned that about our own Representative Doug LaMalfa when he was questioned to death the PPP. He doesn't even know how it works.
It'll be just fine. Don't you remember?
The TPP. We were just talking about the TP.
Yeah.
Yeah. The P, so it's the TPP.
It won't affect nothing, remember?
The TTIP and the TITTY or the whatever.
Is this on the QT?
Yeah.
Are you a VIP?
Yeah.
You made a full circle right back to Doug LaMalfa. You made the circle. You made the circle there. I'm just saying.
He's pissed.
I am. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Boy.
I don't blame you. I mean, the whole, it's insane.
But it starts with the education system, because in order to be free, you can't be ignorant and free at the same time. And so that you have representation of a free, sovereign citizen, which means you have to be educated enough to choose properly how you're being representative.
And you cannot have liberty without morality, because morality defines what liberty is.
Yeah, so the next time you want to go to the park and smoke a joint and stick a needle in your arm, you know, you might rethink your program.
You might.
Yeah.
I wasn't in my program to start with, but okay, you know.
Or we could play, are you going to San Francisco?
No.
My question for the people in San Francisco, you're giving these guys free needles, safe places to do drugs and all these things. Literally, why don't you save yourself the money and just go and do what you're really doing and put a bullet in these people's head? Because that's what you're doing.
Well, or maybe what they should do is make them work for the money, or make you know, they're spending $40,000 a piece on these guys.
That's crazy.
$40,000 a piece a year.
of our money. Yeah.
To enable someone to destroy themselves physically and spiritually.
Yeah. And all the people are moving out. I mean, anybody with a common brain is moving out of the California or San Francisco because it's like, what do you want to do? What is this like? You know, it's not run through the jungle anymore.
<It's> like, no. Yeah. Run through the mine?
It's like the minefield is growing bigger, you know? I mean, watch that video I posted on the website on Facebook. It's disgusting.
It's hard to believe that's in our own country, here in California.
Well, it's right here in Reading.
Yeah, that's true.
Not as
it's
bad.
Just it's just almost a natural, normal human function. What's so gross about it?
I don't know. Go crap on your front porch for about a month and tell me.
All right.
You could write a letter. We could. Well, in fact, if you want, I'll come over and crap on your front porch, too.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Of course, I would like to have a partition
How
there.
Could I be offended by that? You're just performing a natural function.
I know.
There's no immorality about it. Yeah. I shouldn't be triggered so easily.
So if I shoot you, that's okay. That's a natural.
Yeah, see, triggered for me has a whole different meaning.
Yeah, I mean, you're tripping your trigger again, aren't we? Didn't this happen last week?
That whole triggered thing has sort of got me a little bit confused. Makes me want to go to Nice Shot. A little range practice, you know. We're going to go to a break here in a minute, but Donald Trump, you know, the Walk of Fame, guys.
Oh, the stars.
Guys posting, guys posting fake Donald Trump. Some artist came in there, and they're like stickies that go over the top of the other stars that makes them look like. So now that we got Donald Trump everywhere, I think that's just absolutely great. I think that's
awesome.
That
was a great idea.
Yeah. And one guy started picking on one of them, thinking it was Donald Trump. I guess it was Rob Reiner's. God, I mean,
yeah, I was breaking it up or something.
Talking about poetic justice. I mean, good grief.
Yeah, there was an idiot there that was smashing the Donald Trump star, and they had put this overlay on it, and he thought he was smashing up Donald Trump.
I think we can officially call him not an idiot, but meathead.
Meathead.
There was a meathead smashing meathead star.
Hey.
Yes. Yeah. Because they want to take my political advice from a former sweat hog.
That's right. And everybody thought Archie Bunker was a jerk. Let's go to a break.
If you want to call in and there's something you want to talk about, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Chimes ring five, six, and seven. We'll be right in seven. Hey, we're going to rock around the clock tonight. We're going to rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Oh, and it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 2. I'll be going strong.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program. Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five-Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional,
personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
There's only two kinds of men. Ones that have guns and ones that don't.
I once again find myself triggered.
Oh boy, here we go again.
Better take a cold shower.
With that, we do have a caller on the line. We have Jackie. Good morning, Jackie.
Yes, good morning. I think we need to provide solutions for all these problems. And could you tell me specifically what would help the forest from not burning as badly as they did this time?
Fuels reduction.
Yeah, logging.
Clearing.
Yeah. Logging. Road infrastructure.
Clearing the debris under the trees, right?
Yeah, management, clearing around the
fire
roads.
Fire roads.
Slash burn in the winter like we used to do when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, do we have facts to prove that this will be true would help? Do we have history?
You could drive through West Reading.
Yeah, there's a lot of facts that prove.
Yeah,
that
if you remove the
who's
fuel.
Who's willing to put that on paper and to submit it to the Congress?
Well,
I can actually give you a report from the Natural Resource Committee of Congress that says the exact same thing.
Well, the Natural Resource Committee of Congress, well, then why aren't they doing it?
Good question.
That's kind of what we're
because
asking.
Because the EPA has taken over
right.
To the point of stupidity. And
they don't want us to be in the forest. They don't want us to have right. that land. They
well,
don't.
What is the name of that report?
Huh? The name of the report.
I don't have the name of the report off the top of my head. I believe I posted it to Sovereign Minds, but you can look up the Natural Resource Committee on logging and fuels reduction. And you can find pages and pages and pages of data.
Okay, well, I think it's really important for your show to provide a way to solve the problems, not just to present the problems.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here is actually, you know, you got to point out the problems to begin with in order to solve them in the first place.
Well, we all know there's a serious problem with the forest. That's no mystery.
Right.
But what we need to know is what exactly can we ask our congressmen and can we ask our government to do?
Well, it doesn't do us any good to ask it if we don't have a way to implement it.
Or they don't do it.
Or they don't allow us to do it. Right. Or they
well,
won't do it.
To do it if the public opinion gets large
right.
enough to make them.
That's what we're trying to do. You just nailed it right on the head. Is that from my perspective, because I'm only one guy, we've got one little show going here, the only thing that we can do to fix this is get enough public opinion out there mm-hmm. to where everybody starts getting involved in doing something. And that's
okay,
going to
be represented.
Make the solutions very clear. Don't just gloss over them. Or do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Okay, you've got to make them very clear. 1.1, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4. All of these things would prevent the forest from burning like it did this time. Okay.
All right. We'll try to make it happen.
Yeah.
So what was that? The Natural Resource Committee?
I went there.
The United States House of Representatives.
Okay. Oh, no. It brought it up. Well, that's of California.
Yeah, no, go to the federal, and you will find numerous reports and pages of data about fuels reduction and the connections to catastrophic wildfire, the lack of infrastructure, the ratio of fire protection to cost effectiveness that has gone up. You look at the economic footprint of this fire and the money that's going to have to be spent from this fire to recover. If it had been spent on fire protection, aircraft, engines, stuff like this, a lot of this could be avoided if we got into preventative maintenance.
Right.
I have an idea.
A lot of the preventative maintenance was actually done on a private level because as timber companies were generating revenue, they were doing these things that needed to be done at their own cost.
I have an idea because I have a limited amount of time. Maybe there's somebody out there that can do a little homework with us and send it to my email, and we'll put it on the air. It's Kent Mark, KentMark at MSN.com.
Yeah, let's have a
give us
several people weigh in on it and see what your perspective is.
Give us a hand.
Think needs to be done and how to do it and give us a
hand. It's always easy to say you guys need to do this and do this and do this, and it's not that I disagree with this. But the problem is that we can only do so much. We need help. So maybe somebody else can.
It takes everybody. And with that, we do have another caller on the line. Good morning, Janet.
Hello, is this me?
You're on the air.
I didn't hear you. Were you talking to Janet?
Yes. You're on the air.
Good morning. My comment is we were talking about the Constitution and requirements for public officials. And got a loud truck. The people on the Constitution Committee agreed that that's extremely important. So what we propose for the Constitution is that anybody who has a job in the state that requires an oath of office, that they be required to take a Constitution test.
I agree with that.
I'm okay with that.
If it's an appointed position, they would have to pass with a certified score. If it is an elected official, we cannot put such a requirement on an elected official, but they would have to have their score posted and made public, just as they make public their financial matters.
I like it.
Yeah.
Like it. It would sure get people to start boning up on the Constitution and the intent of the Founding Fathers.
Well, exactly, and your point was well made. How can you take an oath to something you're not aware of?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It is an absolute fraud and a lie. You are not telling the truth if you say you're going to uphold something and you have no idea what you're upholding.
I think it's a civic responsibility. I mean, we used to have the Constitution in eighth grade where you learned the Constitution, which was where I was at, was down in the Bay Area when I took it. And it was given by a liberal lady who was completely a whack job, by the way. But I thought it was my civic responsibility to understand the Constitution. And she didn't teach me much, but as I got later on, and I actually took an oath to uphold it when I went into the Army, I thought it was important to actually understand the document that I was, professing to uphold and defend.
And I have asked public employees, a deputy sheriff, I say, you took an oath to uphold it. Did you even study the Constitution in your academy? And they will be very honest and say, no, just as it applies to search and seizure.
Yeah, that's exactly
just
right.
I can use to my advantage.
Well, and they bastardize everything. They don't even know what it is. They don't know what it says. It's like I go before this judge on this red light thing, and I go, you know, it says in the Constitution that I have a right to any matter over $20 to a jury trial. And she goes, I interpret that differently.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, but that isn't your job.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly, and it's a local judge. You know, I've got so many irons in the fire now, I don't have time to fight every battle. I got to pick and choose to a degree. But, I mean, that ought to tell you something about how our elected officials, our appointed officials, they don't even give a crap about the Constitution. I interpret it differently. Well, how the hell can you read anything else into that? It's like saying, you know, you interpret it differently, the Second Amendment. Oh, well, that doesn't really mean that the people have a right to carry. That's just complete bull.
Exactly, and I am really amused right now. The people on CNN are just screaming about how our Constitution is being destroyed and Trump is going to ruin our Constitution and he's not following the Constitution. And yet for the last two decades, we've been told that we are in a post-constitutional era, mm-hmm. and the Constitution no longer matters, and mm-hmm. it's up for debate, and we just make it mean whatever we want it to mean at the time. So it serves their purposes when they need the Constitution, but when they don't, then it's out the door.
Right.
Exactly.
Yep.
Therefore, evil is good.
It's right, and black is white.
That's right.
And soft is hard.
Yeah.
And communism is our friend.
And communism is not, and socialism is the road to communism, but it's soft communism. It's soft socialism. It doesn't really end badly. Look at the European countries because it, you know.
Yeah, they've been living off of our largesse since World War II.
Well, that's the problem, is that people are so uneducated on most of this crap, they don't even know. But that's the story of the ages. It's the you know, the government, the evil people in government suppressing the population in general. That's why we had a constitution, to bind men down with the chains of a constitution so that they would follow the law and not rule of men. And most of these guys don't even understand the frickin' concept.
No.
That's true. And then I want to make one other point, total 180 degrees out, since we are talking about terrible, disastrous fires. After the Fountain Fire in 1992 up here in the Intermountain area, Sierra Pacific and Fruit Growers Supply came in, and within 2 years, they had completely taken out all of the dead trees, and they have replanted, and we now have a forest again.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things I did as a youth.
Or the federal government, and it will never happen. Leave it up to private industry, who depends on those trees for their income, and they will take care of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they'll figure how to charge $10,000 a plant tree, a tree, you know.
And it didn't matter that somebody in Connecticut was suing. They just laughed at them and went ahead because it was their own private property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can see the difference.
It can be done. The forests can be managed. And if you come up to the Intermountain area and look at SP and for fruit growers' land, it is well taken care of. They clean out the underbrush. They do select logging. They take care of it and manage it, as we will be doing in the state of Jefferson.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. It's really not that big of a problem if you would just address it and deal with it, as opposed to
what they used to do back in the 50s.
Right. It's not. Well, yeah, we didn't.
Why wouldn't people? You're going to prosper from it if you do it.
Part of it is prying the land that we are owed back from the federal government.
Right. That is true.
That's right. And just by chance, SP is building a new facility on their land here in Burney. So they must be making some money.
Yeah,
logging must be a profitable business when you manage it well.
That's the real deal. But we've got a bunch of mealy-mouthed politicians that have acquiesced to this environmental garbage that is really destroying the environment.
Oh, come on! You said mealy-mouthed politicians. That's redundant.
Well, I that was better than what I was thinking.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you for your show.
All right.
Well, thank you for calling in.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. And she's right about, taking care of the land and all that. And that's
it's not rocket science.
Yeah, it really isn't.
It isn't. And the solutions are there. It's just that we've got to get rid of these politicians that don't give a crap about listening to the people or doing what's right. Oh, they care about getting reelected. They care about staying in power. They care about, telling everybody what a great guy they are.
And to a certain extent, the phone call, you've got to do this, you've got to do that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we're in the fight. We need you to mobilize.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to get you up. We need to get you in the fight.
Right. That's really the message.
Well, yeah, it takes everybody. Everybody has to get involved somehow and play a part.
Well, let's take this caller, and then we'll go to a break.
All right. We've got Dean on the line. Good morning, Dean.
Hi, Linda. Hi, Mark. Hi, Red.
Hey.
It's Dane.
I'm sorry. I recognize the voice. What can we do for you?
Certainly on the removing of understories and regions where the logging, in fact, I speak from personal experience, having done forest fuel reduction on an industrial scale in areas that it was disrupted from the logging to begin with. Not saying that logging can't be done in a more environmentally friendly manner, but historically that has not been the case. And I've restored habitat at great personal expense on an industrial scale, trying to set the forest back on course for from what the logging did to produce the understory to begin with, all the larger trees taken off, canopy removed, fuel ladder grows. So, you know, the notion that logging is solely the cure here is to completely overlook the completely unprecedented and unnatural climactic conditions we have now. These fires are happening all over the globe in forests that have never been touched, even in the Arctic regions, Norway, Sweden, record epic forest fires where they have never, ever occurred before. And really to have this discussion while ignoring the completely now unnatural and unimaginably extreme climate conditions with climate engineering, man's intentional intervention in the climate system, which has disrupted rainfall patterns, destroyed the ozone layer, is toxifying the rain, which is poisoning soils, which affects roots. We have peer-reviewed study to prove this. So really to have this dialogue or to for people to convince themselves that the only reason forests are burning all over is because we're not cutting down enough trees simply doesn't...
That's not what we were saying at all.
That's not what we said
okay.
then.
Okay, yeah. I got yeah. only part of the dialogue, but shouldn't climate engineering, I mean, how can that not be a part of this discussion? If we go back to presentations I've given 10 years ago, all of which are online, stating this would happen, it had to happen, it couldn't not happen, and we can see in satellite imagery the blanket geoengineering, solar radiation management, climate engineering operations spraying off our coast, which systematically block any inflow of precipitation, dry out the atmosphere. We have incendiary materials in the air. So, I mean, can we really have this discussion?
Have the discussion is not the problem. Let me go here. Here's the problem. Okay, we talk about global warming and then go to the government to fix it, which is causing more of the problem with the global warming. And so, you know, we could go all day long about, oh, gee, you know, the global warming is the root of the problem, but that's really not the root of the problem, because the root of the problem is that the government has mismanaged it, whether they're trying to fix it through spraying and the geoengineering and all this stuff. The government is the problem. It's the mismanagement of the forests, the overburdensome fuel, the overburdensome regulations that lead to bigger government and more control over everything. Everybody. And that is the problem in a nutshell, because even if you have and you believe in the global warming, which I'm a little skeptical of, that discussion could be had. But the answer is not giving a bunch more power to the government
I'm not suggesting that.
Yeah. But that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. Okay, we're not saying not to cut down all the trees. You know, it's proper management of the forest is the beginning.
And there's several layers to that. Right. You know, it's not just...
But here's what I'm saying. You can manage the forest all you want. When the atmosphere ceases to function properly, when the severity of damage to the climate is such that we are in a runaway climate collapse, which we are right now, and this is not about Al Gore, this is about reality, how can we have any discussion about the causal factors behind the fires and the state of the forest, which are dying all over the globe, in Arctic regions, everywhere? How can we have such a discussion while omitting the single greatest causal factor of all?
I have a couple of quick questions. Number one, why is the government conducting a program that's causing this climate collapse that's going to kill everybody? What's in it for them?
I can barely hear you, Red. Why are they conducting these programs?
Yes, and then the next thing is what do we do about it?
Okay, it's a complex answer on both cases. First, solar radiation management, their stated purpose is to try to slow down the warming of the planet by spraying light scattering particles into the atmosphere. This is, again, these processes are
Solar radiation is completely beyond the control of mankind, correct? Solar radiation is not created by man?
The amount that gets into the atmosphere is absolutely affected by man, Mark. That's scientifically indisputed from any arena. So when we have global dimming, this is directly related to your question, global dimming is now 20 to 30%. What's that mean? It means the amount of particles that have been put into the atmosphere by man, much of it from climate engineering, not all, every particle we put in the atmosphere is a factor, it's 20 to 30%. 20 to 30% of the sun's direct rays no longer reach the surface of the planet. How do I know that? Because my background is in solar energy. I work for Bechtel Power, the largest engineering firm in the world. My home was on the cover of the world's largest renewable energy magazine. We're losing solar power for this exact reason. That's what got me into research.
So the loss of solar radiation is causing global warming.
Hold on. It can deflect. Their purpose is to deflect some of the sun's incoming thermal energy input, but it also traps that heat at night. We see nighttime temperature rising 3 times faster
than daytime highs. Because the heat is not escaping back into the atmosphere, it's building up. Climate engineering is making that worse, not better. So my point is simply this.
So why are we doing it if it's making it worse?
Mark, how many things have we
done?
That
was red.
This is red.
That's red, by the way.
Red, I'm sorry. Red, I knew. I'm sorry. How many things does the government do that make things worse, not better? Why
pretty much mostly everything.
Mostly everything. But there's a profit in there somewhere for somebody.
It's about power and control. Climate engineering is also about weather warfare, which is being used against every single Middle Eastern country that has resources, which has been used against sub-Saharan African countries that have resources in order to allow occupation. So the bottom line is, just because something doesn't make logical, rational sense, we're not dealing with logic or reason with the military-industrial complex. My point is this. How can we have any legitimate discussion about the state of the climate from any perspective without including climate engineering first and foremost? And how can we have any legitimate discussion about the effects on the ground, i.e. dead forests, forests burning in a manner they've never burnt in before, without including climate engineering again, which is disrupting the hydrological cycle, destroying the ozone layer, toxifying soils, and this is important, covering virtually everything with an incendiary dust, i.e. heavy metal particles, which we know are incendiaries, which we know are coming down through the air column from lab tests we have from all over the globe. So I'm simply saying that the attempt of official sources to try to always downplay or completely omit the climate engineering elephant in the room while attempting to attribute what's happening to other factors is not a valid discussion. It's simply not. We have to include climate engineering. And if we look at disseminations, I know you guys know I've given because you've attended them. I said this would come, and I said it because the data made clear it had to come, and it's here, and it's going to get worse fast. And you can manage the forest all you want. If climate engineering continues, these burn downs will get worse until there's nothing left.
Well, I disagree with that part of it, because if there's no fuel to burn, there's no fire. So, and I'm not saying that.
Until there's nothing left. That's exactly what I said, and then you disagreed with that. So I don't.
No, what I'm saying is that I disagree initially with your premise that it's a man-made cause of global warming. I don't disagree that they might be spraying stuff that could make it worse. And
is that not man-made?
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's no other source of damage to the planet. Let's pretend that cutting down the forest, paving the planet, poisoning the oceans has had no effect on the planet because somehow it magically keeps itself on track no matter what we do to it. But let's pretend that's the case. You just acknowledge that they are spraying, it is having an effect, it's making it worse. That's a man.
I'm saying I'm not sure if it's making it worse. I'm not sure what the exact effect is having, and I'm not saying we can't have a discussion in conjunction with the fuels discussion. I'm not saying eliminate it. I'm saying that, you know, we can have a discussion about the whole thing. But I think the root cause is fuel, and I disagree with you that the climate is changing to a degree caused by man, because there's cycles in climate over the last thousands of years. You have an ice age, you have a heat. You know, we've seen cycles with the planet regardless when man wasn't even contributing to it. Now, with that said,
hold on,
does the fact that the government would be having a program that would make it worse with their spraying and stuff, could that be a possibility?
Sure.
I absolutely think that it is a possibility, and I believe that that is probably happening. But you can't say that that's the only cause of it, because I don't think that. Yeah.
I never said that.
Okay.
I never said that. And I would encourage your listeners not to believe you or me. I'd encourage them to investigate. And statistically speaking, the current rate of change in our planet, this is not scientifically disputed from any arena, is happening conservatively 170 times faster than any previous event of climate change on our planet. There's nothing natural about this. People die, that's natural. You put a gun to somebody's head and pull the trigger, they're going to die a lot faster, and that's what we've done to the planet. So, again, I'm encouraging people to actually research the issue, and, again, I'm not saying that the forest shouldn't be managed, especially where the natural ecosystem has been intervened with, and logging has done that. And I know this firsthand. I spent years working, toiling, bleeding, sweating, crying in the forest, restoring habitat on an industrial scale. I know what I'm talking about.
Well, logging could be done efficiently and good for the forest service,
yeah,
and productively, or it can be done badly as well. But logging, you know, when you didn't log at all, you had these big, huge burns back in the day, too, because that's how the forest naturally cleaned it out. Go look at Yosemite.
Not like this.
You go like
look at Yosemite before the spraying was even happening 20 years ago. It burned off Yosemite. I said, go look at Yosemite before the spraying even started. They had a huge burn that completely burned off Yosemite because there was no logging. It's a natural cycle.
Ago?
Yeah, whatever it was, 20, 25, 30 years ago.
Do we know the climate engineering operations have been going on for at least 70 years? So how can we consider any of that normal? And the bottom line is, again, these the type of burns that are happening now, and CAL FIRE confirms this, other agencies confirm it, they're correct. Never before seen fire behavior, never before seen volatility. The acreage burning is catastrophically higher than any historical norms. Again, I'm not denying that managing, especially forests that have been touched and altered already from logging, they need to be tended to. The fuel modification or the fuel reduction needs to be done. But to blame everything that's happening on that is absolutely incorrect. We have record low fuel moistures because the moisture is being cut off from climate engineering operations that are undeniably happening. How can we have this discussion legitimately without acknowledging that elephant in the room?
Well, again,
what do we do about it? Where's the aircraft that we go march on the ground? Where's the chemical companies that's producing
what
these things
do,
to shut it down?
That's a great question, Red, is we acknowledge the issue. We bring it to light. We have a peaceful stand at institutions like KRCR who refuse to acknowledge this issue, even though the entire global science community is discussing it. Every country in the world is discussing it, simply not admitting it's going on. We have people make this their priority, understanding that we are in a fight for life. Climate engineering, the single greatest mathematical threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm, and we bring this issue to light, and in doing so for the last 15 years, that's why GeoengineeringWatch.org now has a team of attorneys. We're suing the Canadian government. We're suing the U.S. government, the U.S. Department of Defense, or Department of Commerce, which is the overseeing agency for NOAA.
And to what end?
To what end? To force this issue to light so that our military brothers and sisters understand what they are participating with.
Well, force the issue to light, I mean, you do that through what we're doing now. We're having a discussion on it. But forcing the issue to light is not going to change it. What I want is a specific policy, because the climate engineering guys that are in control of that are more worried about taking over the world than they are about actually fixing the climate.
And they can't do what they do without the full cooperation of legions of order followers who, once those order followers realize, and they are realizing it, that they are participating in the demise of their own families, then they refuse to cooperate. That's why we have Air Force, we have three former high-ranking Air Force officers, two major generals, one of whom was on his way to Reading when our event was canceled due to conditions that were caused by the very issue we were covering, climate engineering. We have a two-star major general. I just did an hour interview. Why is he helping us in this battle? Because he now knows that what he devoted 35 years of his life to was involved with programs that were actually completely opposing to what he thought he was participating in. And as we wake up our military brothers and sisters and their families, and they understand what they're participating in, one would hope, and I do believe, that enough of them will refuse to participate, that these programs can't be carried out.
But listen, Dane, we got 2 minutes and we're out of time, and
okay.
We've given you a forum, and you know we're not against having the discussion at all, but we got to go.
Thank you, Mark.
All right,
thanks
thank
for calling.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I'm not against having the discussion. I'm not sure I agree with everything. But, you know, we're down to the last 2 minutes here. Have we got any announcements that we need to make?
Yeah, don't forget about the rally on August 20th down at the Capitol, on the north steps of the Capitol.
What's the rally
facing
for?
For Stop the State Water Grab, remember.
Right.
Bring your sign. Yeah. Put your county on one side and state of Jefferson on the other.
Because they're going to limit us to 50 gallons of water a day next year.
And we won't be able to. Yeah.
I got an answer for that. I'll use as much water as I want. You got a problem with it, come knock on my door.
Yeah,
we'll talk
that's
about
what
it.
It's kind of getting to, isn't it?
Well, it all depends on where your water source is, too. They may be able to just shut you off.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You know what I mean? Hey, push the button, and then you don't have any water for a lot of folks.
That could be a real problem.
Yeah, so yeah. You need to get down there and show your support
well,
and not have that happen.
Another week has gone by, and we hope you guys survive the smoke and stay healthy, and let's hope that it starts raining.
And I want to say thank you to everybody that helped with the fundraiser yesterday. We appreciate all your help. It was great.
Remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And you've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties, liberty over security, and truth, not lies.
And you've been listening to KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.